Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
A yoga light meditation practice, first presented by the Theosophist Jeffrey Hodson, is being offered at the Ruscomb Mansion. The purpose of the meditation is to align oneself with the spiritual self in each of us, and then with the divine self in all. First and third Thursdays at 7 p.m. in the meditation room at the Ruscomb Mansion, led by Cheryl Glenn Husk, one of the founding members of Savitria. Call 410-367-7300. For more information, send an email to wellness@ruscomb.org. That number again is 410-367-7300.
Look up your chimney, the sky ain't blue, it's kinda yellow, you know it's true.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. I'm the alleged Dr. Bob Hieronymus, a lowly PhD hanging out in this part of the universe, and sometimes we can't even identify it because it's a multiverse. It's not a universe. And, of course, our executive producer and research assistant for the past 20-some years, who makes sure that I work myself to pieces, is Laura Kortner. And our engineer who backs her up is A.Y. Warshaw. So let's put them both under arrest. And tonight, our guest is Joe Honig. We've been talking about being snookered. And, you know, friends, we've covered so many different fields on 21st Century Radio. You know you've been snookered about UFOs. You know you've been snookered about life after death. Indeed, a whole new world opens to you as you pass on into the other dimensions. You've been snookered about just Atlantis, reincarnation, the Baltimore Colts. You know, you get... You get snookered with just about everything. And, of course, so you shouldn't be surprised that when we have these very important issues dealing with Iraq, we go to war in Iraq, we lose a lot of men, we lose a lot of money, we still continue to lose money. When do we get paid back? We don't. Do you like that idea? I don't like that idea. Are we going to have the same kind of a problem with Afghanistan? Are we ever going to get paid back for making sure that these wars are fault? And for what? Well, that's the reason why we have Joe Honig on here, because I'm not smart enough to have the answers. I really am not. I'm all hung up on a lot of esoteric stuff like, let's not burn the American flag. Why should we burn the American flag? The American flag is not the president of the United States. I have stopped so many flags from being burnt with that particular discussion. It's not Bush's flag. It's not Nixon's flag. It's not Jimmy Carter's flag. It's America's flag. That's totally different than the politics behind it. Now, speaking of politics, what kind of leadership do we have? Do we have leadership that can really handle some of these problems? Or are we always going to skirt these issues and let somebody else pay the big bills to certain reporters or researchers who tell us, hey, it's not important, don't worry about it? Well, Brother Joe, what about, you note that our most challenging problem is not our economy, but our leadership? Are you there, Joe? Joe? All the time. Well, as my producer would go, fine, Joe. Who knows? Who knows what happened there? Maybe there's a storm over there in the state of Washington. He's all the way across the country in the state of Washington. As a matter of fact, it's an island out there. Oh, there's nothing like islands there on the West Coast, especially those up in near British Columbia. Because you know where? Well, we've studied those particular areas because of certain types of sea creatures. Do you remember the stories that we did on the Cadborosaurus? The Cadborosaurus and two particular scientists that actually dug up a photo from 1938 or so when they actually found a dead Cadborosaurus, which, by the way, looked a lot like a horse with a fishtail kind of thing. I mean, it wasn't any big monster or anything like that, but it certainly did cause a lot of noise back in those days. And I'm not so surprised over all of the different snookerings we get in the esoteric fields, because let's face it, most people that get involved in these kind of studies esoterically aren't concerned about that kind of stuff, but I am. Are you with us, Joe?
I am with you. Somehow the gremlins got in there, and maybe it's some of the folks I was talking about.
Most certainly it was. You know, our phone has had ears for the past 20 years, so...
Yeah.
So, Joe, we were talking about or moving towards our leadership. What kind of leadership do we have, and what do we need to improve it?
Well, I sent you a piece that I wrote that's gotten considerable attention, and it was titled, "Will Real American Leaders Please Stand Up?" Because what we have now, as I told you in the first hour, we have I call it our last chance for political dignity in this November election. But what we have are three elements, Democrats, Republicans, and only theoretically a grassroots Tea Party, and I'll be happy to clarify that, out really to do nothing more than destroy each other.
Yeah.
The Republicans have made it very clear with something they called a pledge to America. That sounds a lot like the old but politically saleable, marketable contract for America of some years ago that Newt Gingrich came up with. And they got a pledge to America. But what John Boehner has said, Congressman Boehner, has said, we're going to knock them all off. There's nothing we can do with health reform. We're going to kill it. We're not going to give it any money. We're going to destroy it. It can't be fixed. Rather than having a proposal for how to fix something, even knowing that health reform is necessary, even if it's not the Obamacare. They didn't do that. The Tea Party people want to take government back, but we don't know whether it's back to 1785 or what. And the Democrats don't know how to make the best of what's going on. But you're trying to use some blackmail for the right-wing candidates based on some of their personal histories, backgrounds, like this funny lady from Delaware who indulged in witchcraft and God knows what else and now wants to look like an ordinary, everyday person.
She did make some comment that I think it was in 2006 that she had some secret documents on China, which outlined something to the effect of how they're going to take over America?
Well, you have to know this is a lie. And it's a lie for a very simple reason. If she had classified information, then somebody had to leak it to her, which is an illegal act, and she probably should be investigated she's telling the truth. If she's telling a lie, she ought to be embarrassed. But it doesn't sound like she knows how to be embarrassed.
No, it doesn't.
So it's the kind of thing that ought to be on Jon Stewart's program. Mm-hmm. On the Comedy Central every night.
Yeah. Look at that little story. That little story that we started. We didn't do it, but dealing with the Ohio individual wearing a Nazi uniform. it may sound like small potatoes to a lot of people, but my heavens, if you have followed, and I brought this up to my former mother-in-law who's passed on, who served in the United Nations, and she basically, and I related to her, and I showed her the evidence from Blowback, Christopher Simpson's book, which indicated a good many Nazis coming into America. A good many, I'm talking about scores. And we were quite conscious of who they were and how deeply they were involved within the Nazis and the party and elsewhere. She obviously was in a state of shock. But when
she should have been. But I was going to write a piece very soon. Nazis, we learned to love. And the most prime example was Wernher von Braun.
Oh, yes.
He was a full colonel. I have a document that is the list of all the senior officers of the Waffen-SS, which was a voluntary, terrible Nazi organization. But because he was a brilliant, He was one of the Nazis. We scooped up before the Russians could get him or the Brits. It was when we all dived in at the end of World War II to get these people. And that would be understandable in terms of advancing our scientific space program and all that, so long as we did not grant them the glory and the benefits of being not only full-fledged American citizens, but as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce did, named Wernher von Braun a great living American.
Mm-hmm.
So he is just representative, and your mother, late mother-in-law was absolutely correct. And there's a whole bunch of names that are documented in congressional hearings here, there, and elsewhere. But we liked them because they had something we could use.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And we've done that elsewhere because this is a bit of immigration hypocrisy, frankly. And it's a bit worse than that.
Have you heard of, before we get into our political structure and get back to that, there's a book called The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of the American Power by Jeff Charlotte?
No, I don't know it.
Oh, well, this is the...
This
is one that opened my eyes in other areas because I did not know about who, by and large, was funding many of the fundamentalists, and especially what's called the family, and who they admired, who the family admired. Now, these are Christian fundamentalists. You're laughing because you know who they admire, don't you?
Sure.
Pol Pot?
You can go back.
Osama bin Laden?
The Koch brother.
Yes? Yes.
Brother.
Hitler, Lenin, Mao. I mean, these are the individuals that they think were great and that we should imitate them. As a matter of fact, it was in 1933 when there were a group of Republicans who actually were thinking of taking over the country in 1933 that really were basically saying we should do as Hitler is doing to take our nation back.
Exactly right. You remember I told you I'm working on this book on the vendors of slime, slander, and smear, and the words they use today are almost duplicative of the Peglers, Father Coughlin's, Fulton Lewis Jr.'s, Henry Ford's of the 30s.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also Prescott Bush.
And Prescott Bush and Joe Kennedy and Charlie Lindbergh.
Yes.
The greatest accomplishment Lindbergh ever did was fly a plane. And he was pretty damn good at it, and he did a heroic flight across the water, but hell, Hermann Goering was an air hero too.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people who flew planes and stuff like that, but as then Senator Truman, not president, said, none dare call it treason, but it was. The DuPont family, along with others, were helping to fund organizations that were really planning a coup against the Roosevelt administration because they thought fascism was a great idea for America.
Yeah, they thought
it was. There were executives at General Motors. I mean, one of the biggest statements that we're off on a different direction right now, but one of the biggest statements that really bothers me when I hear it, when we get into discussions, this kind is people say, but that was before my time. And I said, did you ever hear of George Washington and Beethoven? And I said, well, that's different. And I said, what if I could show you that what you heard before, what was said to America before your time, is what's being said to America today?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's different. Now, you know, you sound like one of those left-wing loonies.
Yeah.
And I said, that's very interesting because I think that labels are great for medicine bottles and whiskey bottles. But with the things I'm relaying to you today were from conservative elements. And then the far left people, whatever they were, I had some funny ideas. And I explained today that extremism is not in any way, shape, or form patriotism. And if you are on one side of the docket and you claim everybody else is bad while they're doing the same to you, I wish you'd both go away. Because there are people who are really interested in the country and not just getting a seat warm in the Congress of the United States or the White House. Do I sound angry?
No. No, you don't sound angry to me. To me, you sound reasonable, Joe. I mean, shouldn't this offend anyone who truly loves our constitutional republic? How can that be offensive? Not to me.
Well, you see, the problem is we have people who carry the Constitution around and say, here's what it says. I said, no, that's not true. The Constitution is a magnificent document created by some very courageous people, almost 300 years ago, who also understood that much of what they wrote and said would have to be interpreted in relation to the times. And not only that, they were smart enough to know to include an article that says, and if you find that things have to be changed, here's an way to amend the Constitution. They knew they had a great document for the time, born of tremendous debate between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, but you can't go back to 1787 unless you want to deny women the vote, unless you want to deny people who are not landowners the vote, unless you want to do a lot of other things that existed at that time. So this crap from the Tea Party people taking our country back is, well, I don't know what it is. And then the Republicans only want to destroy the Democratic power, and the Democrats want to destroy the Republican power. There must be among us a demand for leadership that says, look, you guys go settle your stuff in a back alley.
Yeah.
Right now, we need people who care about the country. And we need people who, when they say they're going to fight for lower taxes, they're going to fight for this. I don't want to fight. I want to hear the people who got all the money we gave them to give rebirth to corporate America, financial industry of America, and everything else. I want them to say, you know, we really did well off the taxpayers. Now let's put some of those taxpayers back to work.
Now, are you supposed to be angry when you say that, Joe?
Well, if I don't sound it, I got to tell you, two things I hate are hypocrisy and liars. And we seem to have an abundance of that kicking around.
In all the parties.
Of all the parties.
Yeah.
And you know how they get away with it?
How?
Two ways. The very institutions I idolized as a kid and when I was in journalism school and as a young editor and writer, the media of America have so much freedom to do the right stuff. And as my idol, George Seldes, whose name I mentioned to you before, pointed out, nobody has suppressed news and information like major media have here in this country. Whether you're right or left,
mm-hmm.
The Times has done it. Certainly the Hearst people did it. And I'm sorry to say, the folks over on the right, the Murdoch group and everything else, have not been cooperative in getting all those facts out. And when a Saudi prince can brag, as he did, that he could manipulate the news because of his investment, I really don't believe he could, because even Mr. Hannity went after that guy. But the fact is, we are not getting the news. I would urge everybody to go read one of three books, or all three. One is called Facts and Fascism. One is called Witness to a Century. And the other one's called War is a Racket. And the War is a Racket was written by a general who has a former commandant of the Marine Corps. He's dead now, long years. Who is the only winner of two Congressional Medals of Honor in our history. And he had kind of some things of importance to say. You know, but the public is apathetic. They look at these ads on television. They have no idea where they come from. And now with the Supreme Court decision that allows corporations to collect tons of millions of dollars, and you don't know, put that ad on television, and you don't know the validity of the ad. If it was an aspirin put out by an aspirin company, the Federal Trade Commission or the Federal FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, could put them out of business or require recalls with such for such phony advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying the public is not screaming about this sort of thing.
Well, they're busy being entertained, Joe. You may have noticed that. The public likes to be entertained. They don't necessarily like to struggle with these kinds of things, but we have to take our break now. I'm being yelled at, and so therefore I will do what my boss says. We'll be back with Joe Honick. As a matter of fact, you want to hear more of his opinions? Well, you can go up to 21stCenturyRadio.com. There's a collection of his essays there, but also you can email him at Joe, H-O-N-I-C-K, Honick, at gmail.com. If you're a business owner or executive seeking growth yet determined to cut wasteful costs, consider outsourcing your whole marketing department to The Selling Well. The Selling Well offers businesses truly superior marketing services without all the overhead costs associated with employing a full-time marketing executive. Learn more online at thesellingwell.com. That's thesellingwell.com, named after one of our greatest symbols of prosperity, the well. Visit thesellingwell.com or call The Selling Well's managing partner, Plato Hieronymus, at 443-939-1890. TheSellingWell.com. Saturday, October the 23rd, find out the connection between UFOs and the paranormal. The longest-running UFO conference in the Washington-Baltimore area, Mysteries of Space and Sky, at the Anne Arundel Community College this year includes speakers Rob Swiatek, recently seen on Larry King Live, Carl Feint, recently seen on the History Channel, and Ed Wybie, recently heard on 21st Century Radio. For details, call Anne Arundel Community College at 410-777-2325 or on the web at aacc.edu and click on Events and Activities and then click on Conferences. Advance registration is strongly encouraged for this all-day event on October the 23rd. Mysteries of Space and Sky, 410-777-2325.
This is Ed Storms. I'm a researcher in cold fusion, and I'm participating in an interview with 21st Century Radio and Bob Hieronymus.
Well, Dr. Edwin Storms, you know, we did so many shows on cold fusion, and of course, this is, again, one of those types of situations in which the American public has not been told the truth, but over in, well, around the world, over 200 laboratories. They don't call it cold fusion anymore. It's called leaner low energy nuclear reaction. That's what they call it now. Low energy nuclear reaction. And of course, Japan is moving in that direction pretty well. As a matter of fact, even those folks down in Texas, but they didn't stand a chance against the nuclear folks, as we found out at Johns Hopkins, who shut them down real quick. Well, that's one of those problems which could have certainly resolved our energy problems. Now, before we get into one of the most peculiar things that I've ever read before, because I had not considered it, you mentioned something about Colin Bull, a scientist and explorer. And after I read the material, this is an extraordinary soul, and he's just passed on. Do you want to tell us a little bit about him?
Yes, I didn't meet Colin Bull until he was, well, an older gentleman and had been through a stroke, but he was a revered scientist who studied climates. He spent months on the solar cap, ice cap, literally months, measuring climate changes. And, the people who tell you that the climate's not changing, I don't know what their problem is or their reasoning is, but the real scientists like Colin was are the folks who have risked their lives and everything else to measure what those changes are. Colin was a British gentleman, and if you had been in his memorial service today, you would have had tears coming out of your eyes, both from laughter and from just the warmth of those he affected. He was a professor at the Ohio State University. You have to always say that. The Ohio State University. And many of his students became some of our leading scientists of today, studying climate changes and what's happening around the world in that respect. So that was Colin Bull. He was a very humorous, lovely gentleman who just happened to befriend a guy named Joe Honig, among the many other thousands that he knew.
Well, in regards to climate change, again, you know, we have to thank Exxon. We have to. For funding all of the far-right groups who were opposed to climate change. I don't know how many millions. I think it was 10 million or so that he passed.
10 million is cheap. That's chump change these days compared to what's really going into. I mean, can you imagine if we really achieved significant relief from the need of oil? What would happen politically elsewhere and economically? Think about it, and think about what works to keep that from happening. We talk a lot about it. The president talks a lot about it. Department of Energy talks about it. Jimmy Carter tried to insulate the world. If we really got oil independent, what that would do abroad, we create wars, literally, because there are countries that own us to a great extent because of that. So if you knew the money being spent on Capitol Hill to keep us from becoming oil independent, it's big-time stuff. So the $10 million from Exxon is chump change compared to what's really being spent to keep that from happening.
Well, it kept those fundamentalists pretty happy and putting out their propaganda for around 10 or 12 years. I mean, you know, that and they're responsible. Exxon is responsible, and they promised they wouldn't do it anymore, but they still do it.
Well, it's not just they, I tell you. And I've done my share of lobbying in Washington, but hopefully it's been for good things like energy conservation and housing. But if you travel around the circles, you know, I'm a member of the National Press Club, as I'm sure you will be, and K Street in Washington, up on the Capitol Hill, the money that's behind those folks who are really not terribly interested in energy independence for this country.
Certainly not.
I mean, it could take us into a – we've been into this now for an hour and a half almost. And I could take you into a whole range of subjects for a question we can leave for another time. Like, for example, what if we pulled everybody out of Afghanistan today and out of Iraq today, where we just sent about another thousands of people to keep them calm? What if we pulled them all out today and just stopped the war? What do you think would happen?
I don't think it would end.
Well, it's not a question of whether it would end. It would end for us. But the point is that all these other countries, are the defense contractors that are living off of us, I can challenge you and your listeners, just ask for DOD contracts and just put that up on your computer, you know, to Google every day. I get them every day. Hundreds of millions of dollars every single day, defense contractors. That's just the Department of Defense contracts. Hundreds of millions every day. Now, do you think these guys are going to get those contracts if the war stops?
Of course not.
So do you think they have an interest in keeping things going?
Well, of course not. But still, there is, you know, life has some importance. And especially the future of our planet and the future of our families and children, I think, are far more important than those things. I might be in the minority here, but it used to be that life was sacred, but it doesn't seem
to be. I believe in that. Now, I want you to find out without Joe Honig giving you all this opinion, it's very simple to find out what the lobbying on Capitol Hill is for these defense contracts. If you have no major thing going, what do you have there? It's a whole separate evening we could spend I just on that. We've gotten into a lot of things so far tonight. And what the major point of that I was trying to make before, and we'll try to make again, is that you're not finding out this information. The media, whether left, right, are both guilty of suppressing news and information, whether because of economics, that they don't want to get any advertisers upset, or they get political pressure not to pursue some points. This is reality. And it is depressing to me as somebody who really was a gung-ho fan of all those reporters who don't exist anymore, like Walter Cronkite, like Eric Severide, like, what was his name? All of a sudden it goes right out of my mind. There was Murrow, Edward R. Murrow,
yeah.
People who defied the power politicians on Capitol Hill, Republican, Democrat, or anything else, to raise the questions. Mm-hmm. And when they didn't get the answers, they pursued the answers. And this is what George Seldes in the book Witness to a Century and in Facts and Fascism names the book, the information, and documents the sources of the information. Today, we don't do that very well. And
why don't we do it, Joe?
First of all, most people, when you say, well, why don't you get involved, they say, look, I'm tired. I'm trying to make a buck, support a family. I got to kind of count on the media to tell us what's going on. Or the fact of the matter is, you remember we came back to who's got investments in what media?
Yes.
And the advertising has become sacred because of the economics that's happening to media. They don't want to get into certain areas.
Right.
So they don't get a lot of advertisers ticked off.
Mm-hmm.
You have things that don't get pursued. And I've raised questions tonight. You will not see anybody, and I raised them in another thing, about there were about 8 or 9, 10 questions I raised about Afghanistan, which I said is a great war for contractors.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
There is not one politician who has asked one of these questions. Including the President of the United States, including Mr. Hannity, Mr. Limbaugh, Mr. Beck, have not asked why we're not sending bills to the people we've been protecting.
That's right. They haven't. But right now,
among other questions,
we need to take our final break. And when we get back, let's get to, I guess his name is pronounced Geert or Geert, G-E-E-R-T, Wilders, a member of the Dutch Parliament. Gave a talk at the Hudson Institute, I think it was on September the 25th, and we're going to discuss what he said concerning the Islamization of Europe and whether or not he's on the mark or not with our guest Joe Honig. Again, if you want to read a collection of Honig's essays, go to 21stcenturyradio.com. He is the only person that we allow, literally, to add material on his website because he has been such an important teacher for myself, and I'm hoping, of course, for 21st Century Radio. This is an area that I do not necessarily have any credibility in whatsoever. All I do is read and study, but it's very difficult, very, very difficult to get to the bottom of things today, as Joe is saying. You can email him at joehonick, H-O-N-I-C-K, @gmail.com. Next week on 21st Century Radio, what is the role of commerce within the secret destiny of the American Empire? We'll find out how the American Project was inspired by Francis Bacon's New Atlantis, but guided by Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. Sunday night at 8, 21st Century Radio, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hi, this is Bill Mack.
And this is Cindy.
So glad you're listening to WCBM 680 AM. And thanks so very much for listening to one of my favorite people in broadcasting, Dr. Bob Hieronymus, 21st Century Radio. Always enjoyable.
Oh, thank you, Brother Bill. And, oh, by the way, I might as well tell you now, because you'll hear about it sooner or later. Erickson Magazine. Erickson Magazine, I think it's got 1.2 million. Subscribers, Some people tell me it's Erickson Tribune, but I have also heard it's called Erickson Magazine. It's doing a feature story. It may be the cover story of their next magazine on Zohara and my work on 21st Century Radio and a number of other things that you've never heard us talk about on the radio. And also, sometime the Sun Papers is going to cover a story for us dealing with the Meriwether Post Pavilion, the Willie Nelson biodiesel pump that Zoe and I literally got together and made sure that biodiesel was going to be available out there at Meriwether. And we did this in honor of our friend Willie Nelson, who literally has, you talk about farm aid, this guy is really something. Okay, now our guest, of course, is Joe Honig. And we, of course, have covered a number of surprise issues, but this one, Gert, I may be mispronouncing this, Gert Wilders, a member of the Dutch Parliament, who gave a talk at the Hudson Institute September the 25th on the, it deals with what he calls the final stages of the Islamization of Europe. Address this issue for us, please, Joe.
Well, my first comment is you must always be careful with an assertion that some religion is going to take over because others have been accused of the same thing at one time or another. Jews were going to take over the world. This group was going to, the yellow race was going to take over the world. Plus the fact that Islam is not just one bunch of people everybody having the same opinions and from one hierarchy alone. There are countries which profess Islam but are certainly the extremists of those elements that come out of some of the Middle East, like Iran or some of the other Arab countries, who have what they call Sharia law, which takes a lot more than the time we have to discuss here. But as to whether there is a consolidated Islamic church, or what you want to call it, to take over a continent, as if there is a general consensus among one group, that's a question. The fact of the matter is many people of the Islamic faith have gone to Europe and come here because it was difficult living under the Sharia law in some of the Islamic countries, the Arab countries. But unfortunately, in many of those places, some of the little groups within Islam created Sharia courts to take the place of the regular civilian courts, where they consolidated themselves into areas so they were not part of the regular community unless they were wealthy people. And so they are separated from the run-of-the-mill or regular Islamic group. The only way any faith or religion or group can take over any country or any continent is if everybody else is sitting around on their behinds not paying attention. There are, in fact, of course, very wealthy Islamic people who have paid no attention, by the way, to the Palestinians. And they have invaded and put themselves into key business areas, not just of media, but of commerce. And so to that extent, there are those groups that are trying to take over the economies of different countries. But they don't really want to emerge as the political face of those countries. They want to control the economics and the commerce of those places because it's financially feasible. This is why I urge care in putting one stamp of Islam on every person who may of that faith. They are not all the same groups. There are elements within them that are jihadists, that are all kinds of things. And there are others who are plain old people wanting to go to prayer. And this has become a very complex subject And that's a whole evening's discussion to be fair to everybody concerned.
Well, let me just touch on a few things that's mentioned here. He notes that a total of 54 million Muslims now live in Europe. San Diego University recently calculated that a staggering 25% of the population in Europe will be Muslim in just 12 years from now. And he and this fellow Bernard Lewis has predicted Muslim majority by the end of the century. And he also notes that they reported that half of the French Muslims see their loyalty to Islam as greater than their loyalty to France. And that he talks about the elites giving in to this Muslim majority.
Okay, this is true. And it's unfortunately true. And it gets me, with only a few minutes to talk, about the business of, again, coming back to the Saudis. Tons of money are being fed into American universities to present what are, might on the surface be called studies of Islamic studies, except that they happen to include rather vitriolic anti-Israel and anti-Jewish content. And they're not just the business of studying a particular faith. The last figure I saw was about $70 million or so, and I can have that ready for another broadcast, but I know that is a fact, and it's also a fact that Jewish and Israeli programs on campuses across colleges and universities in America are constantly bombarded by hecklers and other people disrupting the whole situation, and these are young people from the Muslim Students Associations who probably came from nice families but been fed an awful lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it's a whole subject that requires much more intensive stuff than I can give it in 2 minutes.
Well, in the future, I'd like to pursue this because it calls for me to reread the Quran, because this individual mentions that the Quran calls for hatred, violence, submission, murder, and terrorism. And, of course, we know that, especially in regards to one thing he reflected on, that farms can't, they're not allowed to talk about farms in certain parts of France because of pigs being on farms.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the funny thing is, most of the Muslims I know shop at kosher food markets.
All right. And the Muslims that I've known in the past, you see, I have a certain bias. The ones that I've known and worked with in the past, most of them were Sufi, the Sufi Muslims.
Well, now you've gotten into the point that there are all kinds of brands here. This is not one brand fits all.
Yes, that's right. There are. But this individual basically is saying that it's just a matter of time before they will have the power, literally. They're talking about the end of this century, maybe. They might have the power to control literally everything. That's what this fellow is pointing out.
Well, I hope you'd have me back soon to talk about that for a half hour, because I'd hate to leave this tonight, looking at the time, without coming back to what I call our last chance at political dignity.
Well, you got on 1 minute. November 2nd. You got 1 minute to address that.
I will do it. The fact of the matter is three elements, the Democrats, the Republicans, and the teabag people, are all at war with each other, not one of them in behalf, or at least anything I've seen, in behalf of the country. And if people are listening to this program, and people, anybody I can affect, be sure to ask or demand that the people stop fighting Republicans against Democrats, against teabaggers. What are you going to do for the country?
Yes.
And I don't want to hear the word, we're going to fight for you. I want to hear specifics of what these people intend to do.
So do I. I think that's super important. Thank you for joining us, Joe Honick. You'll be joining us again in the weeks to come. We're going to have to plan way in the future, a couple hours, to cover some of these topics. See you next week on 21st Century Radio, and I believe at that time you're going to hear all about the most important book I've read so far.
Tell them what you read. Tell them what you read.
Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore, and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel.